Hello and welcome to the Taskmaster Podcast. It is a new dawn in the world of the Taskmaster Podcast because we are starting to chat about Series 2 of Taskmaster. I'm your host, Ed Gamble. I hope you joined us for the ride through Series 1. If you don't join us, don't worry, you can go back and you can listen to all of those episodes and maybe watch the attached Taskmaster episodes with those as well. A lot of people are doing that. It's really heartened me to see that a lot of people are watching along with me and then listening to the podcast. It really makes me feel like we're all in this together, which is what we need at the moment. But we're starting on Series 2 today. Very exciting. No longer filmed in the Clapham Grand, just made to look like the Clapham Grand. And apart from that, you know, it's still Greg, it's still the Taskmaster. Alex Horn, still the Taskmaster's assistant, but new contestants, crucially. Very exciting. We've got Doc Brown, we've got Joe Wilkinson, we've got John Richardson, we've got Catherine Ryan, we've got Richard Osman. It is an absolutely amazing lineup. And today, our special guest to talk about Series 2, Episode 1, is Joe Wilkinson. He is the only person we could get to talk about this episode. Absolutely the only choice, which, if you know the episode, you'll know why. There is an infamous moment in this episode, which is really, I mean, it goes into the Taskmaster Hall of Fame. I think a lot of people would say this is the thing that really got them hooked into the show. You can't really talk about Taskmaster without talking about this moment. What is it? If you don't know, go and watch the episode. You'll absolutely realise. We'll be talking about that with Joe, of course, as well as the rest of the episode, Taskmaster in general. And you know what? It's Joe Wilkinson. We'll probably get off track. I don't know how up for deconstructing the episode he's going to be. He might just be up for a dumb chat, which I'm also open to. Obviously, check out Taskmaster YouTube, youtube.com/Taskmaster, for all your extra bits. Still some brilliant compilations coming out on there. The most romantic Taskmaster moments was uploaded recently as well. It is a very, very good compilation, so go and check that out. Check out the Taskmaster store if you're feeling flush and you want to buy a little TM based gift. But for now, why not go and watch the episode if you haven't already, and then come back and listen to my chat with Joe Wilkinson. Here he is. Welcome, Joe Wilkinson. Here we go, straight away. What's the problem?
I just haven't replied to my WhatsApp.
Just before we started recording, Joe let me know that he's really been getting into WhatsApp. About 10 groups on the go.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure by the end of the year it's going to be up to God knows how many.
Do you not find it annoying though, the constant messages? Because I think I'm in quite a few WhatsApp groups, and I think I've muted all of them for a year.
No, not muted anything. I absolutely love it. I love the connection with without having to have any connection.
Yeah. Are you in any Taskmaster-based WhatsApp groups, Joe?
No, but I did ask you and Daisy if you fancied starting one, and then you changed the subject, didn't you?
Well, I didn't think you meant it, to be honest. But we can.
No,
I do. Well, we'll hop on a WhatsApp straight after this, then. We can talk about what went well in the episode, what went badly.
Yeah, smashing. Thanks, mate.
Look, thanks so much for coming on and doing this, Joe. We had to have you on for this episode because this is Series 2, Episode 1, which of course you were in. It's an infamous episode.
I was in all of them.
You're in all of them, yeah. You're in all of them, but this is the one where you're really in.
I got in early that day.
You got in early that day. We'll come to that.
It was quite
an entrance to the episode. And I mean, what are your memories of Taskmaster, Joe? Did you have a nice time doing it?
It was years ago. What year was it?
I guess 2016, maybe.
2016, so that's God knows how many years ago that is.
Five.
Well, memories of are fond.
Yes.
Very fond. I remember, little behind the curtains here for you, Ed.
Please.
Is they recorded over 3 days in the studio. I remember that. So it wasn't recorded one a week. They actually recorded a bunch of them at the same time.
I remember that.
I remember everyone else doing a costume change after each episode. So it looked like they were wearing, so it looked like it was a different day, and I didn't do that. I just said, I haven't got anything else to wear.
Was it one outfit, or did you have did you have lots of different versions of the same outfit?
No, I just have the I've had the same suit for about 20 years. So,
is that still your stand-up outfit?
Yeah.
The same one?
Yeah, I've had it. I originally bought it for a wedding, and not as a joke or anything. And then I got a lot of piss take for it.
So you thought there's something in this?
Yeah, and then I realised that you just bung that in a bag, don't you?
I'm glad you got fun memories of it, Joe. Did you find it an exciting experience? Did you enjoy it? Because my memories of you gigging with you on the circuit were that you'd either try and get out of gigs about an hour before, or on the way to the gig, you'd constantly be trying to come up with a way of getting out of it. Even like we were on the M1 on the way to Bradford, you'd be going, "Oh fucking hell, are we going to not going to do this?"
Well, if I remember right, Bradford. If I remember the gig rightly, I said to the guy promoter, I said, "It's only 35 in, mate. Oh, I wouldn't bother if I was you." And you can genuinely get students to pull gigs quite easily. And I was like, "Oh, mate, 35, they're not going to enjoy it. You know, it's a capacity of 52, 35 really going to enjoy it?"
It is amazing. I used to do stuff like that as well, where you know you spend ages getting to the point where you get booked for university gigs and doing something that you love, and then you get there and you're like, "How are we going to make this not happen?" I remember getting, I think one of the best texts I've ever received, Joe, from you. It was at like maybe 4 o'clock on a Friday afternoon, and it was a group text, clearly.
Saying, "I don't know where this is going.
Can anyone get to Liverpool by tonight? I've just shat myself on the train." Do you remember that?
I used to copy and paste that every before.
And it's a great lineup. This is obviously the first episode we're talking about on the Taskmaster podcast, so I feel like we should go through the lineup, Joe, with your opinions on each of them and how they were to work with.
As a person or in the show?
In the show, really. I think within the context of the show, but feel free to chuck around any insults if you wish. So we've got Doc Brown up first.
Doc Brown, who sat to my right.
Yes.
Can't be trusted, I found out.
we'll get to that. He absolutely sticks the knife in straight away, episode one.
Yeah. Plays the nice guy. but is it all right to swear? Because I'm gonna.
Yeah, do it.
He fucking well didn't. We were close.
We did have a lot of questions regarding your current friendship status with Doc Brown and John Richardson. I mean, let's talk John Richardson. Obviously,
yeah.
knew him going in, friends with him going in.
Yeah, very close. Shared lots of lifts over the years, and another person who stuck the knife in, didn't he? another one who played to win.
Were you not playing to win?
No, I fucking well was. Just have no, there's big chunks of my brain, it turns out, that don't get into gear quick enough. That's what I discovered.
When did you, so you say you're playing to win. Was there a moment where you thought, when you were filming the show, you thought, "I'm not going to win, I'll just have to give up"? Or were you always playing to win right until the end?
No, because they do that thing where there's something you can win each week. So you go, "I wouldn't mind some skis," or whatever. So you're always being lured back in because I don't know if you remember, but I didn't start well, and then to get to the point of like winning the whole thing was quite a journey to go from sort of the first episode not doing very well, and then by the fifth or sixth I'd won the whole thing.
Yeah, when you won the whole thing, yeah, of course.
It was quite a journey, but I got better and better each week.
That's a spoiler warning for anyone who's watching along with us and has never seen the show before, but is listening to the podcast for their first viewing, Joe does win the whole thing. So I'm sorry.
Yeah, I really come out of my skin through the, through the 3 days. It's recorded in 3 days.
That's the thing, because it's only 5 episodes this series. I think it's the lowest amount of episodes
of
Taskmaster. It's only 5 episodes. Well, I did 10 episodes.
What? Why?
Because I did series 9. It was 10 episodes.
You wanker.
Catherine Ryan, it's the
why didn't I hold out for the later series?
Yeah, you should have done. You should have done that if you jumped in at the 5-episode series because you smelled that it was going to be a success.
Yeah. Catherine, I thought would be dog shit at it. I thought she'd be proper shit.
Why do you think she'd be shit?
She didn't think she'd give a shit. I thought she'd just be like phoning it in. But she was pretty good, actually.
Well, she was really good, yeah. Yeah,
I think she came second after me, didn't she? Yeah,
yeah, she did very well.
Yeah, but I always felt like she sort of sneaked in. Like she didn't... She was a bit like kind of, you know, you go, oh, she's picked up a lot of second point, you know, like second best, not like a lot of like big points. You just sort of steady-headed her way to a win, which is...
She's very consistent.
It's quite a turd way to win, isn't it?
We've not had many people come on the Taskmaster podcast and call out other competitors like that.
Oh, have you not? Oh, no, okay. What am I meant to be saying?
No. This is perfect. Is this
a sort of warm and friendly podcast?
Not at all. No, it's all based on the guest. So
you bring
whatever you want. You bring that sort of gypsy bare knuckle fighting call out video attitude with you.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So I thought she'd be turd, and she was all right. Osman, see, old Big Brains, I was worried about.
Yeah.
Old Big Brains written a book, you know, whatever. I thought, and he was better than me, but not by loads. He's got tons of GCSEs, and I was like, he's going to outsmart Saul, and he was crap in places, wasn't he? So he's flawed. That's good to know.
The beauty of the competition is you can't clever your way through the whole thing. There's some things where a logical brain helps, but then sometimes you need that sort of extra flair of creativity or
which he doesn't have.
All those shows
he's got the old logical sort of plodding kind of, you know, getting the basics done, but where's the flair in what he does? Where's the...
The Wilkinson flair.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
This first prize task, Joe, first prize task of the whole series, most important document. Now, let's get straight into yours, because I thought this was a massive, strong start to the whole series for you. I thought Joe's one to watch.
I got the points, didn't I? I got all the points.
You got all the points. It was you brought your marriage certificate. I thought Joe's seen the show before. He knows what he's doing. He's going to be a real competitor. And yes, I was immediately proved wrong from then on in. But well, it was a great start.
It was great, and it's been screwed up and thrown at me so many times. I thought, take that in. What I mean. Pop that on the stage.
Were you conscious that you just needed to go start big?
I genuinely was planning to win, and I had a whole Lewis Hamilton sort of mindset going. I, you know, got into pole and was just gonna, you know, spread my wings, make it hard to pass me, and the wheels fell off, didn't it, really?
Almost immediately.
Almost on that first chicane.
Doc Brown brought in his first rhyme book from when he was a teenage rapper. Yeah.
Did he come last?
No, he got 4 points for that. I thought that was quite a good one in that, you know, he was showing that he's been talented for a long time, and he was humble. He was saying they were bad. But then he did a little rhyme from it, which was, I don't walk down memory lane, I move down Attitude Avenue. Which he was holding up. He was holding up that as an example of a bad lyric, but everyone there goes, wow, and gives him a round of applause.
It was funny.
I don't think he deserves second place, though. That's what I'm going to say, Joe.
No. I didn't understand Catherine's one. I remember she had like a booklet of
yeah.
You can get on a plane or something.
Yeah, it was a flight companion voucher. I didn't quite understand it. It was quite a sort of, it felt like a fancy one, like a bougie
it
fancy
gave me
one.
It gave me an inferiority complex.
Did it?
But yeah, because I was like, I don't know what that is. You obviously live and work in different circles to moi. Me and you on our way to Bradford, to 32 people. And she's on a plane somewhere. And that plane ain't stopping at Bradford, is it?
The flight companion voucher, yeah, I agree. I didn't necessarily understand that one.
No. I think she got some points, though, didn't she?
Everyone got some points. Put that out there. Catherine got 3 points, which, you
God,
know,
did she?
Seems high.
How crap were the other two?
Well, the other two were both Guinness World Record
appalling.
Certificates. John's was for the highest ever stand-up gig.
Smallest man in a plane. Or something.
Smallest man in a plane. And yeah. Richard's was for biggest man in a boat. it was naming the most capital cities in I think a minute or so.
Didn't he mind game, like tried to mind game Greg and slag John's off?
Oh yeah, he absolutely did. He got in there early when John was talking about his and trying to sell his, which, as you know, is like quite a vulnerable moment when you're pitching the prize task to Greg. You have that sort of little bit of time where you have to make it sound like the best thing ever, and it is quite nerve-wracking. Yeah. And there's sort of an understanding that the others don't get involved or lay into it straight away.
Because I cut it out, but I turned to Richard and said, "Let him speak."
You were very.
But they cut it.
They cut out quite a lot of your gallantry, I understand. You were quite you stuck up for people, the little man, and
you were quite
brave.
And a lot of the times I passed the points over to Catherine and Richard.
And they cut that out as well.
Have a couple of mine.
Yeah.
You're having a rough week. Cut it out.
So Richard and John both got 2 points for their Guinness World Record. I mean, John's doesn't feel like it. It was just a gig he did, right?
Yeah, it was just a gig. I think I should be in the Guinness Book of World Records for the shortest time. Do you remember the shortest time I've ever spent in Hastings?
Yeah, you... I do. This is another thing that really sticks in my mind that you did once, Joe. Please tell the listener.
I only remember this because you told me.
I told it back to you. Because you've done things and you don't. They're so normal within your life that you forget them, but I just remember them. Please tell the listener why you should win the Guinness World Record for shortest time spent in Hastings.
I do remember. I did a gig in Hastings, and when you do a gig, you usually do a 20-minute set. And I was running late for the gig, and I got the gig was right by the station, so I got off the I was meant to be on at 8:30. I remember that, and I got off the train at 32 minutes past. I ran in straight into the pub, did the gig, went back to the station. Got on the train and it still wasn't even 10 to 9. I looked at my watch on the train and it was like 8:49. And I was like, wow.
Joe, what have you brought in? What's important about your document?
It's my wedding certificate.
Wow.
The thing about this is that when I said to my missus I was going on the show, I needed an important document, I said, can I take my wedding certificate? And she said no. And I brought it anyway.
So, task one, let's get stuck into this. Place 3 exercise balls on the yoga mat at the top of that hill. The task is complete when all 3 inflated balls sit stationary on the mat. Fastest wins. Now, after your big start with the prize task, this... You didn't follow it up with another victory, I'm sorry to say, Joe. You took the second longest to do this. You just tried to kick them all up the hill.
I did, yes. What annoyed me about this task is when you see it back and I just... Osman really annoyed me because it's that thing that... Oh, if you're at school with him, you go, oh, because he reread it, didn't he?
Yes.
Do you know, when he didn't go rushing in, did he? He reread it. He reread it and had a think, and then it paid off.
But that is what they teach you to do, like in an exam situation, isn't it? Is to take your time, reread the question, really think about it before you go charging in.
I did a geography exam when I was 14, and it said I read it as answer three questions, right? And there was 100 questions in each section.
Yeah,
and I was like, "Fucking hell, they only want to answer three." So it was like there was 5 sections, all with 100 questions. And I read it as answer 3 questions. So I scanned 500 questions to find 3. And I was like, well, that's easy. And then I sat back for 2.5 hours wondering why everyone else was working their ass off. And then with 10 minutes to go, I reread it and it said, answer 3 sections.
Oh.
And I had a bit of a... bit of a mad scramble, and I wasn't allowed to take geography the next year because of
and because you did not learn your lesson, Joe, because you didn't reread this question. You just went charging up the hill trying to boot the balls up there.
Yeah, and but to be fair, I've got everything in life that I've ever wanted, so there.
Do you have any tasks that that you remember fondly? Because obviously this task, as soon as I told you what it was, you were like, oh God.
Fondly? No.
Does the whole thing fill you with dread still?
No, it was... I went into every task, like, genuinely, like, excited every time. Like, because it... Right, joking apart, it was really fun to do. Like, it was... probably one of the most fun things you can do and get paid for, basically.
Yeah.
And but it was just the disappointment I felt in myself, genuinely. After, so I'd go, okay, right, just similar to a little pep talk. Don't rush in, you know. Don't think about it. Think laterally, you know. Don't just stare at the wall or whatever. And then I'd open the envelope. I'd just go, I don't know what to do. And so. So I'd just be on my way home going, fucking knickers. Like, so it was like, it was just sort of, that's the sort of memory I have from it, going, I was excited, you know, going, oh, right, we're going to be in a boat or something. That'd be fun. And then just like, oh, don't know what to do with this boat. Don't know what to do. What's everyone else doing? And I got wrapped up in.
Yeah, you can't think about what everyone else is doing, because that'll burrow in.
I did. That's all I did. In. So it was really good fun. Like, I've got happy memories of all of it, but it's all twinged with sort of annoyance at my own sort of inability, really.
Well, you all seemed a bit annoyed with Osman in this one, because none of the rest of you thought of bringing the yoga mat from the top of the hill to the bottom, which is obviously what he did. He interpreted the yoga mat on the top of that hill to be referring to the yoga mat rather than it had to stay on the top of the hill.
Yeah, I do remember thinking, as he did that, I remember thinking, I bet he's never got off with a French exchange student. I remember that. I was like, not going to happen, is it? He might have won the task, but has he got off with a French exchange student? I haven't, but...
How often did you console yourself with the thought of the French exchange student thing, or was it a different thing every time?
No, every time he brainiac'd it, I thought, he never got off of a French exchange student, have you?
The thing is, I bet he has.
Yeah, probably has. Shit.
Charming guy.
Really charming guy. That was the only thing that got me through it.
I know what you mean about... I like Osman thinking about it laterally, because no one else did and everyone else was kicking themselves afterwards. But it's not a laugh, is it?
Yeah, didn't want to say it. It's not as fun, is it?
It's not as fun, but it's, I think, if there's one person there doing that, I think that adds to it. If everyone was doing it, it would be really boring.
Yeah, I felt like after that studio recording, Osman went home with a lot of gob down his back. I didn't have any gob down my back. No. So,
well, that's lucky, because you only had one outfit with you.
I'd have still worn it for the next show. You know what I mean?
He annihilated the rest of you guys because it was the time wasn't even specified. It was immediate. He was straight up that hill, straight back down over the mat, three balls on there, and then the rest of you were all running up the hill.
He did look like a headmaster, though, didn't he?
Yeah.
He looked like he was not in the sports department. You know, he worked always indoors and maybe did the occasional playground duty, but that's it.
The way he ran up the hill, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah, it was flat-footed, I'd say he is.
Well, you're a bit of a runner, aren't you, Joe? You like to run.
Mm,
so, but I do, yes. you were second slowest still. Was this before you really caught the run?
I was still carrying quite a lot of the weight I'd gained when I turned 40.
Right.
As soon as I tipped into the 40s, the weight just I could not shift it for the first 4 years. I could not shift the 40s weight, as we called it. So the timing of it wasn't ideal for me because I was still, suffering both physically and mentally with having put that amount of weight on.
Do you think that affected the way you approached some of the tasks, the sort of mental anguish of having put on the weight in your 40s?
Well, I didn't feel pretty, if that's what you mean.
I think that is what I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't feel pretty, so I was very aware of the cameras. I was very, very aware of the cameras.
How did you lose the weight in the end?
I take diet pills that you can't get in this country.
Yeah, fair.
My body's like a tap, basically. It's just like everything goes through me like a pipe. So
it's a good tip.
I get some of the nutrients, but very little. So
straight through.
Yeah. But I look, apart from sort of looking semi-translucent, never felt so well.
Oh shit! Oh, fuck.
2 minutes, Joe.
What?
You've had 2 minutes.
Oh, shut up.
Task two, Joe. Task two, which is the one that everyone's really tuned in for, is to hear about task two. Get this potato in the golf hole. You may not touch the red green. Fastest wins. Joe, I'd imagine this has followed you around for your entire career, right from the moment it happened until this point. Mm-hmm. What's your memories of this task? Because, look, we can talk about what the others did, but I think we both know we just want to talk about what happened to you.
I'll tell you what my overriding memory of this is. Going into the studio that day, going, I know I've won a task, and being rather overconfident. And then I was chatting to Greg before the show. And then this is one of those looking back moments.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, you know, how's everything looking? And he went, yeah, good. He goes, yeah, this episode's really good. We've got some quite a sort of dramatic bit. And someone whacked him. And I went, I know what that was about. And didn't give it another thought.
Yeah.
Didn't think, wonder if that's got anything to do with me, seeing as they whacked him while he was talking to me about me, basically. And I was like, I don't know what that about. And I cruised into that recording, which was the afternoon of the... No, it's the morning of the same one as we recorded the second episode of the afternoon.
Yeah, it's same day, yeah.
And same day. And I had that in my back pocket. Like I imagine a magician feels like when he's got a superb trick about to wow the cruise ship.
Yeah.
I was really, very, very confident, and a lovely little moment where they show John and Doc, and then they show Catherine and Richard, and you go, ooh, this is going to go one of two ways. It's going to be really good for the final test, or really bad, but I know it's really good.
Yeah.
Because I get it in straight away. This is going to be great. After they showed it, I still felt very confident.
Well, it's amazing to watch. I've seen it a few times, obviously. Watching it back again, it's still really impressive, you actually doing it. Even though I now know you're about to be disqualified, just You it's getting impressive. It in first yeah. time is still it's on the verge of sexy, Joe.
Yeah, it's fucking cool.
It is cool.
It's really cool.
Because honestly, like you clearly don't expect it to have happened, but you're trying to play it cool afterwards that you got the potato straight.
Yeah, yeah. But I start giggling.
You start giggling. You can see in your eyes it's literally the best moment of your life.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and I've shot a rhino.
Well, exactly. Exactly.
So, you know, I hunt big cats as well.
Yeah.
So this is big.
For me. This is huge. The potato in the hole.
High adrenaline stuff.
Yeah.
It was smashing. And even as it went in, I thought, this is going to edit down lovely.
Always thinking of the edit, aren't you? You're such a pro.
Always thinking of the edit. I gave him a nice little out. Them to dovetail nicely back to the studio where we can all enjoy it together as a Taskmaster fan.
In many ways, the way you conducted yourself there, Joe, was like you were doing a gig in Hastings. You were out the dressing room, potato straight in the hole, straight back in the dressing room. There was no hanging
exactly.
around.
Exactly. I was back listening to my playlist, having a lovely time eating. I always save myself a little treat for the train home, so I'd probably had a bag of crisps at that point. And, but it all unravelled. I don't know if you remember this, but it all unravelled.
It didn't
go
well.
It unravelled for me. No.
So you'd stood on the red-green slightly, which they'd obviously saved to reveal in the studio.
The great bit, like, you know, me and Greg have got history, obviously. But I'll give him his dues. The way he said the next bit was very, very clever because he said, I think I can remember it because it's emblazoned into my frontal lobe. He said, I think that was something like, that was fantastic, wasn't it? I think, I don't know about you, but I'd really like to see that again.
Yeah.
And I thought, yeah, I would.
And
because I've not seen
it. And at no point does the memory of him saying, oh, there's quite a dramatic bit, that's not flared up. This might be the dramatic bit he mentioned.
No. I assumed John had fallen down a hole or something.
Fallen down the little hole.
The little hole. I wonder why there's a tiny little mouse ladder in there. No, none of that. At that point, I had not thought, I wonder if this will unravel me. So I thought, genuinely, this is tragic. I was genuinely going, yeah, I'd like to see that again because that was a hell of a throw. Why are they zooming? I know why they've zoomed in. Yeah, and what I worked out as well is because they zoomed in three or four times, they didn't think the audience would catch on that quickly.
Yeah.
But they caught on very quickly, as did I.
Yeah. And heartbreaking.
It was genuine as well. I was heartbroken. And what's odd, I don't know. What's weird is like people were coming up to me and like genuinely going, "Like, are you all right?" In the street? I was like, "Yeah, I got paid quite well."
But I tell you what, that I find the most heartbreaking thing about it is because it's so cool and so sexy the way you get the potato in straight away, it's the drop off in dignity from that moment to then seconds later you are on your hands and knees in front of Greg and Alex begging them, saying, don't take this away from me.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming myself. I've not watched it that far to see that bit.
It's awful.
I pause at the potato going in and me jumping up celebrating like a slightly overconfident middle-aged man.
But obviously then you get sent out of the room because Greg has decided to let other contestants decide on whether you get disqualified or not.
Yeah, well, those guys have my back. I know that.
Well, I don't know if you've watched how far you've watched. Look, we know
I spoke to everyone afterwards and all four said that I should have the points, so
yeah,
I appreciate that.
Yeah,
I really appreciate that. And as I'm not being funny, I know John won't lie to me, and I know Dot won't lie to me. I'm not sure about Catherine and Richard. Well, there's something a little bit shifty about those two.
How do you feel about Doc and John now? Do you genuinely, when you see them, do you remember what had happened?
They are the reason I took up jiu-jitsu. I really like Doc and John, but a little less.
A little bit less, yeah. So it was obviously 0 points for you, disqualified despite the time of 14.
Did I get one point?
No, you were disqualified, mate. You were disqualified. I can't believe this is news to you. This has lived on in the annals of Taskmaster. People talk about this all of the time.
But everyone gets a flipping point, even if they come last.
If you get disqualified, you get 0 points. I'm sorry. I thought you knew this news. I'm sorry to have to break it to you.
No, no, I didn't. I didn't. But you're obviously enjoying telling me because...
it's nice to get an exclusive.
Yeah, yeah. Oh.
It was 5 points for John Richardson. Took his time still. 1.9 minutes, I'm told.
Did he win it?
Yeah, he won it. 4 points for Richard.
Osman must have done turd.
Four points for Osman. Because he quickly cottoned on that he could stand on that sled and the tarpaulin and just walk straight across and dunk it in. Catherine got 3 points, even though she discovered that you could move the entire red green, but only moved it a tiny bit and then started tying a bit of string around
the potato. She let herself down there, didn't she?
She does that quite a lot. She did it again later on in the episode where she works out a good system but then sort of refuses to use it. Clearly, she doesn't want to break the rules too much.
No, I get that. I appreciate that.
And 2 points for Doc Brown and then 0 points for yourself, Joe. Sad.
I think it's ridiculous. Like, I came fifth. Give me a point.
Yeah, but you sort of became... You were disqualified from the whole thing.
I've got Alex's number. Do you have Greg's number?
Yeah.
Can you WhatsApp it, mate?
Are you going to text him now?
Yeah.
Yeah? I'm going to send you Greg's number.
Yeah.
And then here on the Taskmaster podcast, you can finally get some sort of apology. Is that what you're after, an apology?
No, I want to meet up.
There you go. I've sent you... That's Greg's number there.
I want to go to town on each other.
What are you going to say to him, Joe? Because I maybe shouldn't have given you his number without checking with him first, really.
Hi, Greg. It's Joe. I'm doing Ed's... can I call it a podcast? Do you mind?
Yeah.
And I've just been told you didn't give me any effing points for my pot throw. I'm not going to write potato. It's going to write pot throw.
Potatoes, I'd say, probably the key word in all of this.
Let's meet... somewhere between Brighton and London and sort this shit out.
Send. Right, there you go. Hopefully we'll get an answer from Greg at some point during the record.
Yeah.
Well done, Joe.
Really emotional. I think that's the best thing I've ever done.
It's a good shot.
Job done.
All right, see you in a bit.
Yeah, cheers.
Well done, Joe.
No worries.
In the meantime, let's move on to task three, Joe, which is find out the following information from the Swedish person. The Swedish person may not speak or write in English. Fastest and most accurate wins. Now, this is very much your attitude when you read out the task as well. You looked absolutely devastated and tired. Can I say tired? You looked tired before you'd even got to the task.
What, now or in the show?
In the show. In the show, you looked exasperated and you looked like it was the end of the task. You're like, oh, God, no, come on. What was it that filled you with such dread here, Joe?
Well, some of the tasks aren't doable, and that was one of them. it wasn't doable.
But a lot of other people did it, though, so... There was a way of doing it, but you didn't have a technique. What?
Well, there isn't, though, is there? Because he speaks a completely different language.
Yeah, but what a lot of other people did, mimes and things like that. So Doc still got 3 out of 6. They did a bit of miming. John, you know, got 5 out of 6. Richard got all of them right. He just did a sort of counting letters thing with the alphabet.
Surprised he didn't speak bloody Swedish, did he? Probably just thought, oh, learn that just in case.
But that's sort of what your approach was. It was almost like you were hoping you suddenly might understand Swedish, because you were asking him questions, he was speaking back to you in Swedish, and you looked disappointed every time you couldn't work it out.
But like every language, how different can it be?
Well, Richard got all six right, going through the alphabet one by one. Dot got 3 out of 6. John gets 5 out of 6. And Catherine got all six right as well. She phoned a Danish person and got her to translate some of the stuff. There are ways round it.
You phone someone from a completely different country. That's what you do.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah, I've got... I should have phoned Raul.
Who's Raul?
My Spanish friend.
Now, so do you think that his knowledge of Spanish would have helped you with the Swedish task?
Clearly it does, doesn't it? Just phone someone on your phone who doesn't speak English. So good. When you it's the simplest ideas.
Yeah.
That are the best, aren't they?
It's hindsight.
And when you see it, you go, why has this not been done before? Why don't I phone someone from a different country and see if they speak Swedish?
Do you remember anything about this task? Because I'd imagine you were still reeling from the potato thing, right?
I do. I remember doing it. I don't remember anything in the studio. Because, like when I get frustrated, my legs ache.
Yeah.
That's genuinely true. When I get frustrated, my legs ache. Because if I get frustrated, I'll say to my missus, my legs ache. And I remember my legs really aching in that, because I genuinely, like, I know I joke about it now, but I was like this, I was going, well, this can't be done, can it? Because I'm sort of saying, oh, when's your birthday? And he's going, oh, Utentid. And I'm like, right, don't know what that is. And
so at no point did it occur to you to think of another way of trying to interpret it with, like, miming or holding fingers
That's baffling, isn't it? Absolutely baffling. I don't, even though you said it, I still don't think I'd do it.
Well, even if you knew the right techniques, if you were offered the opportunity to do it again, you just wouldn't.
Because I'd be so frustrated that my first approach hadn't worked.
Yeah.
That I'd just bail again. Really worryingly, I just couldn't think of any other way it could be done. Unless going, can you just say it? And then I'll hopefully...
No,
Swedish.
Yeah.
Interesting. I wonder if that'll affect the mood towards Joe there, because the sigh as soon as he found out the gentleman was Swedish was bordering on racist.
I don't like him.
And now it's time to hear from our BFF bonus fact finder, Alex Horn.
Oh no, I'm back. Yes, it's me, little Alex Horn, your old BFF bonus fact finder. I'm sorry I've been away, but here I am, because it's series two of Taskmaster, episode 1. And because I have neglected you, I have returned with a bonus fact about each of the 3 tasks. Whew, what an episode this was. The first task is about the place the 3 exercise balls on the yoga mat on the top of the hill task. And my fact is this. The task was filmed at a place called Northala Fields, which looks and sounds like an ancient burial ground, but is in fact a man-made area. The hills were constructed using rubble from the building of the new Wembley Stadium, or the old one, something like that. Anyway, look it up on Wikipedia. If you do, you'll see that under Northala Fields, it says the hills featured in a memorable episode of the British TV show Taskmaster. So there we go. Okay, the second task and the second fact is about the get the potato into the golf hole task. What a moment that was. And my fact is that after Joe failed so obviously to obey the rules, there was a lot of chat amongst myself and Greg and everyone I know about whether or not we did the right thing. My brother thought we had done the wrong thing. I didn't sleep that night because I thought maybe we'd done the wrong thing. The next night I did sleep because I was confident that we'd done the right thing. So my fact is that that was not an easy decision to make and still causes difficult conversations at Christmas. The final task was about the Swedish person, and we all miss the Swedish person. I'm often asked where he is, so my fact is this. The Swedish person is a man called Fred Arlen, who has returned to Sweden. He was a substitute drummer in my band, The Horn Section, when Ben, the handsome guy, was unable to make it because of other commitments. Fred, also handsome, drummed very well, but is now a painter and decorator back in Sweden who still drums from time to time. I would like to see him, but I can't because of the situation in the world. But I will soon. He is my favourite Swede. Goodbye, stay safe, make good choices.
We come to the studio task, Joe. Did you enjoy doing the studio tasks?
No.
No. Stressful?
No, I felt really under pressure.
Yeah.
Do you know the bit I always feared is that they were going to make me open the envelope and read it out just in case there was a wrong word I couldn't read. That's not even a joke. I thought they might say, like, reverberate or something, and I'd be like, oh, what's that? Shit.
Is that why you've learnt the word reverberate now?
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't be able to read it. But I genuinely was like, don't give me the envelope to open.
Those are stressful, the studio tasks, I found. They are. They feel like they have more pressure because there's people watching them and you're against someone. So it feels like you'd be able to immediately see how bad you are at something.
But I think I did well in it.
No, you got 0 points again. This is 0 points for the studio task because you didn't complete
it. I remember it.
Again, didn't complete the task. It was pack for a holiday. All items must be packed in your hand luggage or worn on your body. Fastest wins. And I believe you had a bit of a meltdown and ended up just smashing everything on the floor.
I do remember that. I remember really looking at Alex and seeing him in a different light.
What light?
Because I like Alex.
Yeah.
I've always had a sort of soft spot for Alex. Just generally, I've always found him to be a very... Not someone I'd ever want to hurt. And then I had to get everything in a suitcase or on me. And, I glanced over and felt something I hadn't felt before.
Obviously you were reeling from the potato thing. Even during the potato thing, you didn't want to hurt Alex, but as soon as it came to the sort of having to put things on and get stuff in a suitcase, you thought, that's it, I'm angry.
Yeah, because I knew it'd come from his head.
Yes.
So I wanted to dent it a little bit.
Yeah, I understand. I do understand that that thing of like, you came up with this, and now are you trying to humiliate me?
Yeah, you're torturing me.
Yeah,
because it was really good fun, as I say, but it was really frustrating and like talk. And I don't know about you, but I was dreaming about it. You know what I mean? After because you sort of, it's all quite intense, and I was just sort of thinking about it a lot and then letting myself down and thinking about it and trying to clear my head for the following afternoon.
Yeah.
And just going, come on. And it all got on top of me. And I think that became apparent.
So it was an Osman victory, which is going to make you angry, I'd imagine. 20 points for Richard Osman in that first episode, 18 points for John Richardson, 17 points for Catherine Ryan, all pretty tight at the top. 9 points for Dot Brown, 8 points for you, Joe.
So where did I come overall?
Bottom.
Bottom with 8?
Bottom with 8 points in that episode.
Okay, that's interesting.
And just to put it into perspective...
Other series, that would have me second, I think.
Just to put it in perspective, you got 8 points and you got 5 points for the prize task. So
what are we saying there then? If I got 8 points in total and 5 in the first task, that means...
3 what? Points for the 4 tasks afterwards. Less than a point a task on average.
So on average, 3/4 of a point? Is that right?
There or thereabouts. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That was kind of in the ballpark that I was sort of aiming for in that first episode. Yeah.
So you can then go up through the gears.
Go through the gears. Yeah.
Joe, we've got some emails from listeners. Would you be happy to answer some of these questions?
Are they pleasant emails or are they people saying, I don't like what you do?
No, they're all pretty pleasant, I'd say.
I saw you at a gig in Canterbury. You were booked to do 20. You came after 12.
We've filtered a lot of those out. We've filtered a lot of the all of the.
So is that why there's only a couple of emails?
There's only a few because we had to take out all the ones with a Hastings IP address. So obviously we had a lot of potato ones, so we've narrowed it down to our favourite potato question.
Sure.
This is Rob from London. He says, my question for Joe, has he been able to look at or eat a potato since his traumatising disqualification from the potato task? Also, what would he have voted if it was the other way round? I guess Rob's saying if it was one of the other contestants, would you have voted for them to get the points or not?
I would have voted for them to get the points.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yes. And that differentiates me from them as a whole. Yes, I would definitely. I would, because I'd be thinking about their feelings.
And has it affected your attitude towards potatoes since then?
I'd crinkle cut chips for tea. I think that speaks volumes.
Answers the question, doesn't it?
I'd crinkle cut chips, chicken Kievs, peas, and I had I had three of a box of 12 Ferrero Rochers.
Lovely.
And I just cannot shift the weight.
I think that's answered Rob's question. Second email. This is from Pranav. Sure. Hi, Joe. We've usually seen you do the aloof, disinterested hobo character on panel shows.
Sorry?
Your hobo character. But Taskmaster was different. You were needier. Was that unintentional, or did you go into filming with a certain mindset? In hindsight, what effect do you think the show had on you when you were in it? Regards, Pranav.
I got swept up in it, if that's what he means. I did get swept up in the sheer pageantry of the whole thing. And I did come out of my shell, and I did become the person that I want to be.
This is from Stu Alexander. He says, Joe, if you could make Alex Horn complete a task from your series, what would you choose?
Probably one of the ones they cut. Licking razor blades one.
Yeah.
I'd say.
How did you do on that one?
Well, you can see the size of my tongue. So what would I make him do? Potato, I think. See how it feels with the backlash, the public backlash.
Has there been a public backlash? I mean, honestly, like, people talk about this so much. I think it comes up in most discussions of Taskmaster. This was a huge moment. Do people still come up to you and ask you about this?
Yes, but I do make them stand at two meters away.
Of course.
That's just, you know, the way I'm approaching the whole pandemic.
Yeah.
I'm sticking to the rules, and I hope you are.
I mean, the best way to make someone socially distant from you is to carry around a big red green and stand right in the middle of it, about 2 meters. Although some people can't be trusted to stay off that. So
I'm a more a 1.98 meter guy. There was a lot of there was a genuine weird amount of interest in how I was doing, genuinely. And the amount of men just saying the phrase, you were robbed, and then I'd have to work out what they meant as they drove away. But was it really 6 years ago? Or 4 or 5 years ago? Because it still happens now, yeah.
Yeah. So,
which is insane.
Yeah, so yeah, that is, it's kind of bad.
Yeah, five years on, and they go, and people are going, just, and I was watching Taskmaster, and your potato thing was, just, I don't see why they, you know what I mean, it's just, don't know why they just didn't let it, because it would have been, you know, yeah. All right, well, have a good day, yeah. And then I'll go, oh, yeah, what about the, you know, about just other stuff I've done. Okay, cool.
Joe, thank you very much for coming onto the Taskmaster podcast. I always get the guests to rate their experience on the podcast between 1 and 5 points, as is customary. So do you have a points rating for your experience on the Taskmaster podcast?
5 out of 5. I've had a lovely time because I haven't seen you in ages. And
oh, good. It's been nice to catch up.
It's been
up.
Nice to see you.
It's been lovely.
Yeah.
Have you had a response from Greg yet?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Oh, no. What's happened?
I didn't know he was on TikTok. He just sent me to his TikTok page. God, he's a self-promoter, isn't he? He's got 3,000 TikTok followers. It's incredible.
Thank you very much, Joe.
Yeah, that'll get edited down, won't it? So just for the... Can I... one more behind the curtains. We have recorded for about 1 hour and 40. So have a look at what has actually been left and imagine the drivel if that what got cut out. So an hour and 40 down to whatever, you know, have a look at the time bar and you'll see how much they've cut out.
Thanks, Joe.
And what have we learnt today? Well, we've learnt that life can be cruel. One day you're a happily married sporting hero and the next you're a lonely potato-throwing cheat.
Well, there we are, as expected. You know, Taskmaster-based, sure, but occasionally wending our way onto different paths, which is fun. It was a really... I absolutely loved that conversation. I don't know if you could tell. I think Joe Wilkinson's hilarious, and I just love prodding his brain. So, thank you very much for listening. Next week, of course, because of how numbers work, we will be talking about Series 2, Episode 2. Very happy to tell you that our guest for next week is the wonderful Sian Gibson. That's right, occasionally we're straying outside the actual lineup of the show we're talking about. We're talking to Sian Gibson from Series 8 of Taskmaster, of course. She's been through the Taskmaster ringer. She knows the process. She's also, crucially, a big fan of the show. So she loves this series. She's excited to chat about it. I can't wait to talk to Sian. What I would say is we have already recorded it. So you can't send in questions. But keep sending in your general Taskmaster questions to taskmasterpodcast@gmail.com and we will do our best to answer them. More information about future guests coming up and people you can ask questions to. Until then, we will see you next week. Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.